Are you a fan of board games? What board games do you like to play? Did you catch the story in the Wall Street Journal this month about how the Green Bay Packers love to play Settlers of Catan? For some reason, that made me smile. And I think I need to learn more about how to play this game. And we will all learn more about it this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January 27th. Are you, like the Packers, hooked on Settlers of Catan? What is it about board games in general that appeals to you? Do you have a favorite board game that you like to play with friends and family? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, our guest this hour knows a lot about board games, and he brought in a few examples for us to talk about and learn more about, including Settlers of Catan. He is Brian Winter, owner of I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton, Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks for being back. The last time we talked to you, we were talking about the popularity of board games and why it's such a good thing to do all year round, but especially in the winter time. And I think at that time there was a renaissance of board games going on. Is the popularity still growing?
Growing and growing, yes. Consistently for the past 6 or 8 years.
That's amazing. Well, what do you attribute that to?
Well, 6 or 8 years ago, it was the economy. As the economy was sort of a little weaker, people were looking for ways to spend a little bit, to be a little smarter with their long-term entertainment. It was sort of a surge right there. The whole thing really started about 20 years ago. A lot of folks are surprised to learn that Settlers of Catan has actually been around for 20 years.
I am.
It actually came out in 1995. This is its 20th anniversary this year, and it was the first of what we call the Euro-style game that come over to the States and really kind of make folks realize that playing a board game is not something that's just relegated to children. It's something you can do and have fun with your whole life.
Yeah, that's great. And I know we talked a little bit about this game the last time you were here, but I did you find it amusing that the Green Bay Packers are obsessed with this game?
I think about 100 people sent me that story. Everyone I ever knew said, "Hey, did you see this thing about the Packers?" No, I don't think I'm actually was not surprised at all. I think as folks are surprised to learn that Catan is a 20-year-old game, I think they're also surprised to learn that it's a lot more mainstream than people realize. Obviously we sell it at our store, but you can also find it at Target. I mean, it's a game that has really sort of snuck into the social consciousness. A lot of people know about Catan right now. It's sort of one of the new classics. It's one of the, at least in my industry, it's one of those games that everybody's played and sort of moved past or just now discovering it. It's sort of this middle ground game where people don't really, they either play it all the time because it's so new and fresh, or they've sort of said, "Oh yeah, Catan, I played that 15 years ago and now we do something else."
Yeah. Well, I don't know why. I just smiled when I saw that they had parties where the Packers would get together at someone's house and play Settlers of Catan.
Game night is a very popular thing these days. I mean, I've got lots of customers at our store every Friday night, every Tuesday night, every Thursday night. We all get together and we play games. All over town, in Madison especially, and Milwaukee as well, you'll find groups of people gathering to play board games.
Now, the Wall Street Journal article, if I'm not mistaken, and I can't quote it exactly, but the headline was something about this complex game that is for the nerdiest of nerdy game players or something like that.
Yeah, they kind of oversold that part a little bit. It is a little bit more rulesy. I would not call it a game for the nerdiest of nerd. That's something a little, I've got other games that will certainly fit that bill. Settlers of Catan is actually very, very mainstream. It's a game about collecting resources and spending those resources on expanding your little world. It's a little rulesier than, say, Monopoly and Sorry, but it's also not one of the more complex games that we have.
Interesting. Well, I won't make you go through all the rules, but let's say you are explaining this to a newbie.
Sure, I do it all the time.
And I would like to learn how to play Settlers of Catan. And tell me how.
The 30 second pitch. Basically, you have an island made of these little tiles of hexagons, and each tile has a certain land. So there are mountains and hills and plains and woods. And each one of these plains or each one of these tiles is going to produce resources. It's going to produce wheat or sheep or rocks and things like that. You're going to put these into a circular pattern, which is the island of Catan. And then you are going to build on this island. So you're all vying to have sort of the biggest sort of settlement on the island of Catan, full of settlements and roads and things like that. And based on where you are building, you are gathering these resources that these pieces of land are giving you, and then you're spending those on expanding your empire and getting other things. And all that stuff is going to get you what we call victory points. So it's not a race to get to the end of the board like in a lot of other games. It's the first to acquire 10 of these victory points is the winner. And how you choose to get those 10 is really up to you.
All right. And I'm trying to think. Is this a game that I understand that the Packers get very competitive when they're playing this? Is this one of these cutthroat games?
It's a lot. It can be. There is a trading aspect in this game where as you gather these resources, there's a segment where everyone trades. I will give you some rocks if you give me some wheat. I'll give you some sheep if you give me some clay. Things like that. And so it can be very. You can take it personally and say, I'm not going to trade with you. I'm going to do. And sometimes this game can be challenging for kids who are around 8 years old, where things get really personal, and that's sort of the age that you are at where you start taking these things a little personally. You can play it very cutthroat. I actually think it's a fairly social game. It is a little random because every turn there is a die roll, and so you can really be sort of at the whim of the dice sometimes. Other games that have evolved since this even have less randomness in it. You can play it very, very casually and friendly. Most people do. But if you really want to get hardcore with it, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. And is it going to take me 5 hours to complete?
No, but it will take you about an hour and a half. Yeah, your first game always goes a little longer, but no, it's not like old school Risk where we drop our dudes in Australia and roll dice for 3 days. The game does end. Yes.
Well, one of our producers, Bill Martin, said that he had not played this game before, and he went over to a friend's house and they had a party going on, and he did try to learn it on the spot, and he found it kind of complicated.
Your first game, as with many of this style game, because you have options. I mean, that's really one of the wonderful things about this style of game is, as I said, in this one you have a goal to get to 10 points, mm-hmm. but you don't just roll dice and move your mice and just go down the track and whoever is the lucky one to get to the end first, like, shooting ladders or something like that, is the winner. This one you have to choose. Am I going to go, is my path to victory this way or this way or this way? And because there are so many options, there are more, things to do. There are, it can be a little, what do I do first? Your first game is always going to be we always call it a teaching game or a learning experience game. You have to get a game through before you, and then score it out and say, oh, okay, I see how I should have done this and this and this. So it's a game that you discover. And the more you play it, the more nuanced it becomes and the more you can see little subtle strategies based in even how you put your pieces on the board is a very big, big part of it. So,
well, I'm definitely going to play this game this year.
You should. Everyone should.
But when you said it's actually, you consider it one of the new classics. What makes a game a classic?
Well, in my industry at least, it is it's very approachable. Settlers of Catan is actually what we call a gateway game. Like a gateway drug. it's one of the first. Entrance into a new sort of genre of games that are not luck and thing based, but actually games that you can sort of learn and discover and play and have a lot longer replay value. In my industry, we have a thing called the Spiel des Jahres, which is the German Game of the Year Award. A lot of these games come from Europe. The Spiel is sort of our best picture Oscar in our industry. Catan won it 20 years ago, and lots of other games have won it since. And that's always a good thing to Google, to find out who has won this award Some of the games are no longer in print. Some of them are only available overseas, but a lot of them are still available today here in the States.
Interesting. And you say this is the 20th anniversary of it.
Yep, came out in 1995.
That's really something. And you mentioned it's Euro style. Some of that's a different than American style?
As a matter of fact, yes. In our industry, we call it sort of Euro style games or Ameristyle games. Ameristyle games tend to have... and this is a very broad brush cubby-holing of these types of games. But things like Risk would be an Ameri-style game. It's very themey. It's about fantasy or science fiction or something like that. Where Euro-style tends to be a little bit more about resources and building and things like that.
Well, we're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking about the popularity, the allure of board games, and we want to hear your recommendations or your favorite games or your questions for our guest, Brian Winter, who owns I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton, Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are talking about board games. As winter continues in Wisconsin, even the Green Bay Packers are enjoying board games as a way to pass the time. We're talking about the popularity, the lasting allure of board games, and we welcome your favorite board game to play with family or friends, or any questions you might have to get some ideas for games that you might enjoy from our guest. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Brian Winter, who is owner of I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton, Wisconsin. And he brought with him some games that we are talking about, including Settlers of Catan, which is getting some more national attention because the Green Bay Packers are hooked on Settlers of Catan, and they were featured in a recent story in the Wall Street Journal. You know, it's interesting, we have... Aaron on Facebook, who says, I find it compelling that the Packers who play Settlers like the fact that it is less violent than other games. Did they say that?
Yeah. And then, you know, this style of game, as we talked before the break, the sort of difference between sort of, you know, the themey games with maybe science fiction, fantasy, and, you know, battles and things like that. But this Euro, quote unquote, style game like Catan, they tend not to be about defeating each other. It tends about being you winning versus you beating everybody else, if that makes sense. They tend to be more about gathering resources and using those resources to build. So in the Euro-style game, the goal of the game is to build, when sort of the Ameri-style, and I hate to use the word that way, but it cubbyholes it nicely, is really more about breaking someone else's stuff rather than building your own stuff. You know, it's
I find that fascinating. Yeah. That's interesting. Well, you know, what about the board games that are not really all that violent, competing with video games that pretty much are?
Well, certainly, you know, some are and some aren't. You know, just like in our industry, we have all kinds. But yeah, I mean, you know, video games. I love video games. But all things in moderation. We do have a significant, especially lately. You know, we have a lot of parents saying, "Oh, I'm looking for some way to get the kids off the screen for a little while and gather and have no screen time." A weekly no screen time is always good, and playing a board game is a great way to do that.
Yeah. Lots of people are fans of Settlers. Amy on Facebook says, my friends and I love Settlers of Catan. The game maker encourages the making of alternative rules, and our favorite is to keep rolling doubles if you're hot.
Oh, hey, that's...
So you can make up your own rules.
Absolutely. There are, I showed you this one box here, and I saw it on Facebook there. There are actually many, many expansions for Catan. So you have the base game, and then from there, you know, that one box will satisfy 3 to 4 players, but then you can add a 5 to 6 player expansion. Then you can add 4 more add-on boxes, which add even more to the game. And your Island of Catan is now practically a World of Catan. And there's lots of variants and mini expansions. And it's a huge game that you can really just have it as big or as small as you want it to be.
Yeah. Kitty on Facebook says, I played this game with my nephews a few years ago. It was a lot of fun. My nephew Dylan is a real pro at Settlers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's also a... something that multiple generations can enjoy.
Yes, I know of people who play with their kids as young as maybe six or so. Like you know, the, and your mileage may vary there. I think that the sweet spot is probably 8 to 10 before you really start understanding the long term strategies of the game. But as far as rolling dice and collecting stuff and building, that's a pretty universally accessible task.
Well, speaking of video games, here's Carl in Madison who called in to say that he and his son used to create board games when he was young. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You can just create your own board
game. I did
game.
When I was a kid. Oh, yeah? You know, sure, you often start with the game that you're familiar with. And when I was a kid, it was, Mousetrap and that kind of thing. And so the games that I designed when I was a little kid are just, a piece of paper and a track and some dice and some pawns and you race to the end. The Madison area has a wealth of actual game designers and things like that as these games are so accessible, the desire to create one is a fairly lateral move.
We'll get to that in a moment and some new games that were made by Madison game makers
hot
off the press. Carl also said that board games are fundamentally different than video games. Do you think so?
I do. I mean, they certainly both have their pluses, as far as cognitive abilities and things like that. But with board games, they're obviously a lot more social. You are sitting across the table from someone interacting. And they tend to have a lot of video games are either, depending on the game, it's very twitchy or something like that, or just, you just do this, push this button. Whereas, depending on the style of game, again, you have lots of choices. Am I going to go this way or that way to get to the my victory path? And how are the actions of my opponents going to affect my path to victory? So there's a lot of thinking going on. Yeah, it's definitely a brainy activity.
Let's take a call from Vicky in Mayville. Hello, Vicky.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I used to be, a skeptic that games are really for nerdy people and they're not that fun. But I have since turned around. I would encourage people to really give it a shot and give things second chances. Cause I'm always one to be frustrated when I'm learning new rules. Like first time I learned Catan, I didn't like it. It was so complicated. But once you get those down, like he had said, there's so much replay value. You can play it with a million different people, a million different times. It's going to be different every time. And I would just encourage people to try again and give it another shot. I usually like to play games at least twice before I decide if I'm going to like it or not.
Well, great advice. Thank you, Vicky. Is there a game other than Catan that you enjoy these days?
Well, if I can really hit on what Vicky said, especially in the United States, playing a game has for the longest time been relegated to, if you're not a kid playing a game, then you're sort of a nerd playing the game. And even the Wall Street Journal was sort of guilty of that. But no, it's very, very mainstream, especially lately. We have folks of all ages, all genders, all sort of lifestyles playing board games now. It really is sort of the new mainstream activity. And definitely, good for you, Vicky, for giving it a shot, coming in with maybe some preconceived opinions of what this thing is all about and trying again, because these are not games that are sort of spoon-fed you like video games. They tend to sort of spoon-feed you, do this, now do this. There is sort of a personal investment in learning how to play these, and they are always worth the effort.
Yeah. Thank you, Vicky. Is there another game that you'd like to recommend or that you enjoy?
I've recently discovered games that are like cooperative games. So it's like the team against the board, such as like Pandemic is one. That's kind of complicated. So if you're a beginner, maybe don't start there. but there are... maybe you can come up with more examples off the top of my head.
Sure. So it's the you're not playing against the other players. You're playing against the board.
Against the game itself. And Vicky mentioned Pandemic. That's probably one of the most popular ones. There's this new wave of co-op games. I will rattle a few titles off: Pandemic, Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert, Robinson Crusoe. There's a horror ones like Arkham Horror and things like that. I mean, you pick a genre. There is a cooperative game in that genre that where we're all working together. against the game. And that's a wonderful genre for families and kids, especially siblings, where, let's say, you've got, you know, a couple of young boys like I have, and you know, maybe they're at the stage in their lives where they're very ultra competitive, or, you know, a cooperative game is a wonderful way for you all to work together against a common goal.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Brian Winter. He is the owner of I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton. We're talking about the ongoing rising popularity of board games. And we wonder if you have a favorite board game that you play with friends or family. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What is the appeal for you of playing board games? You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And if you go to our Facebook page, you will see a photo of Brian and I and the game Settlers of Catan, which he brought in, and he also brought in some other games that we will talk about momentarily. I mentioned Amy on Facebook talked about how much she loves Settlers of Catan, but she also says Cities and Knights is a lot of fun, but Starfarers is the ultimate. It's a long game taking more than 2 hours.
Yeah, Cities and Knights is one of those expansions onto the base game. Starfarers of Catan takes the Catan game and rejiggers it to an outer space theme. The unfortunate thing about Starfarers is it's been out of print for a long time, and it's actually quite collectible now. So good for Amy for having a copy of this game. I'm sure there's a few listeners out there who are pretty jealous right now that she's got one. Yeah.
You know, I didn't. So those are variations of Settlers of Catan.
There are many of them. Yeah, there's even the current one. There's a Star Trek Catan right now. And there's you think of all these different genres. There have been versions of Catan that have a Bible theme, the Settlers of Canaan. And a lot of them kind of go in and out of production. Our industry tends to have some fairly short print runs unless it's a super big hit like Catan. There have been many, many versions. There are historical versions of Catan where you are settling Egypt or early America or something like that. Yeah, they've taken that system and sort of reworked it for many, many different genres and different variations.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do remember playing various board games and other games with siblings growing up. And I remember that there was a lot of talk about sibling rivalry. I mean, it did get pretty intense at times. And there are certain siblings who will remain unnamed who would really just get so competitive and aggressive in playing. I mean, are these games, good for the relationships of people for the most part?
I'm going to throw a solid it depends on there. Some games, for example, you take the example earlier, you take a game like Catan or something very, very seemingly innocuous, and you can have groups of people who are very, very competitive about the game or just who sort of play and have fun and things like that. There's no wrong way to play that game or any game, really, as long as everyone you're playing with is on the same sort of even keel and you all play the same sort of way. I think a lot of reasons that some people say I don't like to play games is because maybe they just don't like to play the games that they've played before or with the people maybe they played with or the style that they were playing. There's a game out there for everyone, you know, from social games and party games to very, very complex to very light and fluffy to, there's something out there.
Yeah, and I was going to say, on the other hand, I've had some really fun weekends with my girlfriends where we would play games. And it was just a good time.
Yep, there was, exactly.
And in fact, some of the games were more, even though we knew each other, they were games that you would, more social games where you'd be asking a question. And
exactly. And the one that really broke the mold for, probably about 15 or so years ago was Apples to Apples. Mm-hmm. Many people have played Apples to Apples. And that game almost single-handedly changed party games in the United States. Before that, it was Pictionary and Trivial Pursuit. And what's the problem with Trivial Pursuit? It's only fun for the one person who knows all the answers, and everyone else is sitting around and watching that player go around the board. Party games have evolved where everyone is doing something all the time, and it's really more about, hey, let's be social and not be competitive. The one that I love a lot is a game called Say Anything, which again takes that sort of apples-to-apples mechanic, but it makes it very open-ended. open-ended and rewards a lot of creativity, where you're voting on my opinion of your opinion of my opinion, and it's a very, very good game.
That Trivial Pursuit reminded me of, well, frankly, it was a sister who would take forever to, you know, like, let me think about this, let me think about that. And,
we
you know, 10 minutes later, it was like, come on, you got to answer the question.
We call that analysis paralysis. We actually have games where we say, how AP prone is this, analysis paralysis prone? And some people will sit and think, and it's gone to where some people will bring up chess clocks and egg timers and say, okay, your turn is done.
Yeah exactly. Well, speaking of apples to apples, now that has a Madison connection, doesn't it?
It does. Out of the Box is a local company. Apples to Apples, they sold it to Mattel a few years ago, but they have since made several other games. One of the most popular ones right now is a game called Snake Oil, which takes the Apples to Apples game and basically turns it into a where you pitch something, where you take the same sort of card mechanic and say, okay, it's Apples to Apples, but you have to make your case. This is why you should pick mine. You know, this is, you know, you actually are pitching a product to the judge of the turn. Very good one.
Well, we're going to take a few more calls, and we're going to hear some more news. And after news, we'll talk about some of these Madison-based games
you
that
bet.
You brought in that are brand new, that may be of interest to many. And we'll talk a little bit about why Madison is such a hot spot for game creation. We have Gina in Rhinelander with us next, though. Hi, Gina.
Hi.
Yes, what is your favorite game?
Well, I was just listening to you talk about Apples to Apples. We used to love that at Christmas time. This year, our newest favorite game is a game called Telestrations.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a game that, you know, I've just been hearing by word of mouth, and anybody I tell to check it out loves it. And it's easy, multi-generational. It's a take on the old game of telephone and Pictionary. You're doing drawing, and then you pass it on to the next person. They have to guess what it is. And then it goes around the table, and it's just hilarious.
And
a lot of laughter.
The worse of an artist you are, the better that game is.
Exactly.
Unlike Pictionary, a terrible artist makes that game really fun.
How come?
Because what you're doing is each player has a sort of a dry erase flip book, and every person's going to have a thing that they need to draw. And so you spend a moment and you draw that thing, and then everyone takes they're all doing the same time, and you all take your books and you pass them to the person on your left, and that person only sees the picture. And then they have to flip the book and actually write down what they think that picture is. And then they pass again. And so it goes, as your book goes around the group, it goes from picture description. And by the time it comes back around, it's the telephone game. What has this thing evolved into?
And if you're a terrible drawer, it's funnier.
Yeah. An interesting anecdote about that game, as many party games, started off as a parlor game. Balderdash, for example, is the old dictionary game. This is a little crude, but Telestrations actually started as a parlor game called You Ready? Eat Poop, You Cat. Yeah. If you Google that one, that's what you'll find. You could.
I'm not sure I should have allowed that. No, I don't. I'm sure it's fine. Very good. Gina, thank you very much. Telestrations. I'm going to have to check that out. Brian in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
Morning.
I teach a summer school class called Exciting Board Games up in Green Bay.
Oh. Wonderful.
And I was laughing when you were talking about Telestrations. We just played it this weekend, and I do a lot of apologizing to the person.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's always a game of looking to the person next to you. What is this supposed to be?
Yeah,
and it's a good luck. Here you go. Sorry. But yeah, we teach a summer school class on exciting board games, and it's kind of cool because we get 4th through 8th graders playing a lot of these games and not realizing that they're learning about like economic theory with Power Grid and Catan and stuff, and they like it. And
absolutely.
You're working on the social skills with them, and they do a great job. So
We have a lot of people come into the store and say, I'm looking for a math game. And what they think they're looking for is the very nice math game. You know, that here it is. It's math. You know, no one wants to play flashcards. But what the sort of the hidden secret of this game is most of the math and the education is hidden in the game. You don't realize you're learning things as you're playing the game. You're having fun and playing a game. And, oh, by the way, you're getting a lot of benefits from it.
Very good. Brian, thanks very much for the call. That's a summer school class I think I wouldn't mind.
I'm there, yeah.
Thanks for calling. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue having some fun with board games with Brian Winter, who is owner of I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton. What is your favorite board game? Or do you have a question about board games? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about board games this hour and the appeal, the allure of board games, the popularity of board games with Brian Winter, who is the owner of a Middleton, Wisconsin store, I'm Bored, Games and Family Fun. And we are welcoming your favorite board game or questions about board games. What is the appeal of playing board games to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our conversation was prompted in part by a story in the Wall Street Journal earlier this month about how many of the Green Bay Packers players love to play Settlers of Catan. And there was also articles about the continued growing popularity of board games in terms of sales. So there's a continued renaissance of board games going on, something that many of us like to do, especially in the winter. So we invited Brian in to talk about board games. We have Callie in Oshkosh with us now. Hi, Callie.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
I just want to speak to what Brian said about learning things unconsciously through playing games. And full disclosure here, I'm an advanced Dungeons & Dragons player for 30 years and a Dungeon Master myself for 25, okay?
Me too.
I'm the parent of serious gamers who are now in their 20s, and we talk about this stuff all the time. I'm a great believer in the power of gaming to build brains and do, you know, strengthen critical thinking and social skills, as Brian might imagine, given my background. And I just wanted to float this argument that it's a continuing argument I have with my kids who are big Settlers of Catan fans. I think it's a terrible game because it teaches industrialization as a goal, right? The object of the game is to expend natural resources to build cities, and there's like no visible cost to the environment at all. And they tell me that, on the contrary, it makes the requirements for building things concrete and tangible to young people, and that they're likely to translate that knowledge into real life and make more responsible choices with regard to their use of natural resources outside the game. And I was wondering what you thought about that, and if you had a recommendation for a game out there that's sort of the anti-Catan.
Oh, my goodness. I think it's just fascinating
that
a mom and her sons are having this debate. I think that's great. And her mom is a dungeon master.
You bet.
there isn't an anti-Catan?
Well, a couple things pop to mind. I mean, I do think that meta discussion that you're having is a great one. I don't think most people go that far with most board games where they take the theme and really, you know, extrapolate it to the end. But yes, you absolutely can, not like a game for the simple theme of it. One game that just pops into mind that maybe I wouldn't call it an anti-Catan, but certainly something that you will probably appreciate based on that brief description is a game called CO2. This is a more complex game, but as a 30-year dungeon master, I don't think you'll probably have a problem with it. And it may be a little hard to find. Like I said, some of these go in and out of production, but this is a game that is about gathering resources and building, but you are also looking at your carbon footprint as you are doing all this. And so it's all about the environmentalism and things like that. There's also a game called Power Grid, which is, again, a game about growing a big power structure around the country. But you are bidding on the resources to run various different kinds of power plants. And are you going to go coal? Are you going to go nuclear? Are you going to go wind power? And what are the pluses and minuses of each of those? Power Grid is another one of those, classic Spiel-winning games that has been around for several years, 10 years now.
So what exactly is a Dungeon Master?
Well, Dungeons & Dragons. Everyone knows Dungeons & Dragons. It was a product of Wisconsin, TSR, and Gary Gygax. He and I share a birthday. They started
from Lake Geneva.
Now owned ultimately by Hasbro. They moved over to Washington by a company called Wizard of the Coast, which then was bought by Hasbro. But it all started here in Wisconsin. Really, a big chunk of our industry started right here in our back door.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I think we had a lot of smart people and probably, hold up in the wintertime and very imaginative people, and came up with this great game, Dungeons & Dragons. It's still around. It's enjoying a brand new edition this year, which is probably, in my opinion, there are a lot of people who yell at the radio when I say this, but probably the best edition of the game right now. It's a very, it's a role-playing game. It's cops and robbers with rules. You are an adventurer, and the Dungeon Master is a person, the referee, who sort of presents a story, a choose-your-own-adventure, where you say, okay, you see a door. What are you going to do? I'm going to go through that door. What do I see? And then you roll dice and see what happens. It's a classic game.
My nephews love that game.
Oh,
but
yes.
You also brought in with you, the suspense is killing me, two brand-new games that are Madison-based games.
They are. I mean, the companies themselves, one is from here, the other one is from another, the manufacturer, not necessarily in state, but the designers are here in town, and there are a lot of designers here in town. Two that are sort of hot off the press. The first one is a game called Bullfrogs by Thunderworks. I want to make sure I get the name of the company right. Yeah, Thunderworks Games. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a light little abstract strategy game about bullfrogs jumping on lily pads, and you have regular bullfrogs and these sort of mega bullfrogs that take over, and it's an abstract game. When I say abstract, it's like things like Othello and chess and checkers are all abstract games where there's not you're not rolling dice, you're just placing pieces on these cards and moving them around, and it's a very thinky game for all ages. It's a great one. Just came out about a week ago. Another one to talk about is a game called Scoville by a local designer. The Scoville is the measurement of how hot a pepper is, and this is a good example of how theme can go sort of all over the place. You have an abstract strategy game about jumping bullfrogs. This one is about the town of Scoville, and everyone wants to be the producer of the hottest peppers. And
cool.
So this is another game where you're bidding on properties of these various peppers and crossbreeding them, and so there's this sort of pseudogenetics thing going on where you are trying to breed hot peppers. This one might be a little hard to find. It actually just came out very recently, but it's already selling through its first print run, and that happens a lot with our industry where something takes off. They have fairly low print runs because this is a smaller industry. They sell through, and then we are in a waiting game for the next print run. But we scooped up every copy we could. So yeah, with this one, it's a great one.
Well, and Ed Marriott of Ed Marriott Scoville, he's from Madison. Then, if that's his name,
he is. Yep. He's the designer. He's a local guy. There's Brett Myers.
I didn't do that.
there are many game designers and wannabe game designers. And I've certainly dipped my toe into that pool itself. Everyone who sort of really gets into our industry eventually, has this dream of designing their own.
Here's an email from Sean in Columbia, Missouri. I have really been into games my whole life. My current favorite is a collaborative game called Zombicide.
Yep.
It's a fun zombie survival game. Also, I would like to mention that Kickstarter.com is a great place to find new and up-and-coming board and card games. I've gotten several board games from Kickstarter campaigns that have raised literally millions to produce them. I don't get it. You can go to. I thought Kickstarter raises money, doesn't it?
It does. It's a crowdfunding site. Both Scoville and Bullfrog started on Kickstarter as well, and it's a way for a lot of as anyone trying to break into any industry, money is always tricky. Kickstarter is a way for you to sort of put out your idea. I want to make this game. Please contribute or please invest in my dream here. And sometimes sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. Now, sort of a side note there is, yes, some games do sort of generate a few million dollars, but they don't always end up being profitable because you have to be very, very smart about things like shipping and fulfillment and things like that, and just printing the game is not enough. So there are a lot of success stories on Kickstarter. There's also stories of seemingly successful, but then it fell down. So you have to, you know, everything with a little bit of grain of salt, but Kickstarter is a wonderful general sort of resource.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We have Brian on Facebook who says, one of the great things with our local game shops, Gnome Games in Green Bay, mm-hmm. is the knowledge that you can gain from them compared to the box stores. Well, I presume you would not disagree with that.
I do not disagree with that at all. No, Pat Fudge owns Gnome Games up in Green Bay. That's a great store. There's a lot. Wisconsin has everywhere. You look for a good game store, and yeah, the folks behind the counter should be able. You know, any good game store, if you walk in and you don't know what you're looking for, they should be able to help you find a game that is for you. You know, we get a lot of people say, what's the hottest game right now? I was like, well, that's not necessarily maybe what you want. Maybe the game that is right for you is a game that's been out for 10 years or 20, like Settlers of Catan. So,
yeah. Well, besides Settlers of Catan, what's the hottest game right now?
Actually, a lot of games from Japan are very hot right now. We talk about this Euro style game, and certainly, you know, that is not relegated to Europe. A lot of these games come from all over the world, from the United States, from Italy, from Poland, from the Czech Republic. Some games from Japan are very big. One is called Machikoro, which is a great little game where you are sort of, again, building a little town, and it's a very light game. You're rolling dice and trying to build a town and get to victory points. Another one is a super, super popular game called Love Letter, and it's a little card game. It's only 16 cards, and the object of the game is to get your love letter to the princess. And you Aww. Would be amazed. We've got 40-something-year-old men sitting in, you know, in a group of four, slapping cards down, trying to get their letter to the princess. I mean, it's, you know, it's a wonderful game for all ages. They've rethemed it into a Japanese version. There's a Batman version coming out. There's a Santa Claus version that came out. I mean, this little love letter game, only 16 cards, is a great little game.
I'm guessing that you might not find some of these games at your
not
big
all
box
of them,
store.
Not yeah. all of them. For yeah. example, you know, Catan, we've been talking about that today. You can usually find that at Target and some mm-hmm. of the big box stores, but they really don't carry any of the expansions for that game. And yeah. there are legion of expansions. So, yeah, the specialty retailer is definitely a great way to go.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. And I am I'm very tempted to, I think I will, stop by your store and see what's out there. Maybe I will, though, go with that classic, the 20th anniversary of Settlers of Catan.
You bet.
And you did, we have just 30 seconds, you moved just recently and expanded because of the popularity.
Just down the
games.
Street, yeah, we're in the same strip mall as Willie Street Co-op in Middleton right now, and mm-hmm. yeah, we went to a store twice as big with a much bigger play space, and yeah, it's been a ride.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And have fun. Brian Winter, owner of I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton, Wisconsin. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Kayla Blato for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.